Yeah, I'll be right up. I just need to make a quick call.
Oh, okay. Just don't take too long.
Thank you for calling Sea Cow Fantasies. Come see how deep our blowholes really go. To speak with Leah Zobo, press 1. For Ariel, press 2. For Crazy Aunt Sue, press 3. Or press 4 to be connected to one of our amateur, hot, horny acers. Thank you for your selection. Now connecting you to our hot, horny acers.
Hey baby, this is Mama Paula. Who am I speaking with this evening?
You can just call me Goliath.
Oh hey, a big boy, huh? Well, at least we have something in common.
Wait, what the fuck?
Well, what you wearing right now, Goliath?
Raiders jersey?
Oh, I love hockey. Well, what are you into, Goliath?
Certain websites.
Oh, really? What kind of websites?
Have you ever heard of RCDB?
Oh, yeah, baby. I go there all the time. In fact, I'm there now.
Oh, yeah? You are?
Oh, yeah, baby. What you want Mama to do?
Well, they call me Blue Hawk. So why don't you pull that up? It's at Six Flags Over Georgia.
Oh, anything for you, big boy. You want Mama Paula to read it to you?
Oh, yeah.
Blue Hawk. At Six Flags Over Georgia, built in 1992 by Vekoma Rides.
That's me, baby.
With a top height of 122 feet and a top speed of 52 miles an hour.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And a total track length of 2,742 feet.
Fuck, pull up another one.
Oh, I got one for you, big boy. The Beast at King's Island.
No. Steel only. I only like steel.
All right, baby. Mama Paula understands. How about we do
Mama,
some...
Mama, your butt-tired stepson stole my vodka tampon.
Shut up, bitch. Mama's trying to fucking work.
Randy Ray Redford, I'm never sleeping with your ass.
Peggy, I said shut the fuck up! Sorry, baby. How about we do some Fury 325?
Oh, fuck yes.
Fury 325, built by B&M in 2015.
Yeah.
Length, 6,602 feet.
Damn, that's good. Keep going.
Height, 325 feet, baby.
Damn, that's tall. Almost as tall as me.
Drop, 320 feet.
Tell me how fast that bitch goes.
Oh, that bitch goes fast. 95 miles per hour, baby.
Oh, fuck.
Max angle of descent, 81 degrees.
Keep going.
Capacity, 1,470 riders per hour. Baby, that's half of what Mama Paula does in one night.
Fuck. But I bet you still have to wear a seatbelt, don't you?
Three trains with 8 riders per train.
Oh, here we go.
Riders are arranged 4 across and a single row for a total of 32 riders per train.
Raiders!
Ride This One Podcast! If you want family friendly, go listen to Coaster Fucking Radio.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Hi, everyone. This is Tim of the Notorious Wilson Brothers, or as they are known to theme park fans, those two know-nothing dipshit hillbillies from North Carolina. When I was asked to introduce my brother's appearance on this stream of verbal diarrhea Slater calls a podcast, I quite honestly didn't know where to begin. How do you describe someone who has been a part of your life for decades, but you still can't really stand to be around for more than a day or two? Kevin is a unique individual, one whose enthusiasm is outweighed only by his remarkable mediocrity in everything he does. Of his many hobbies, acting, disc golfing, fucking up everything he touches, the only one he's really good at is riding roller coasters, and that's probably because the only skill it takes is figuring out how to buckle a lap belt. However, Kevin does possess the unique talent of being able to get along with just about anyone, even the freakish weirdos like the host of this show. So without further ado, I introduce my brother Kevin conversing with two like-minded morons. How'd that sound, Mom? I don't think I went that easy on him. Oh, okay, I know. I don't think they'll let you see miserable fuckface on the show. Okay, love you too, Mom. Bye.
Well, we are definitely glad you could be here today. Now, I'm just going to, you know, get right into the crux of what makes you you. You are a drug-addled pothead from the South who likes roller coasters.
Get her done.
Is that a correct assessment of who you are as a person?
I wouldn't say that I was on drugs necessarily. I mean, right now I am, but not in general.
Not in general. Well, that's actually kind of disappointing.
No, I'm only kidding. I'm on everything. Everything you can think of.
Well, oh, what a relief for our listeners. sorry, ladies. He is actually taken.
Did Nathan's friend get into your drugs? Is that what caused all the shit that happened down at up at Knoebels?
Oh, are we going to get a chance to talk about the great Knoebels incident?
You know, why not? Let's bring it up.
Let's go ahead and get it out there. I think the public demands to know.
Oh, shit. You know, I wasn't planning on that. So we will talk about Knoebels, but let's tease our public on that. We'll get into that in the second half of this interview. I'm doing quotations here, interview. But just know, you know, for everyone out there in podcast land, it's very entertaining. Well, at least to me.
It was so entertaining that Slater made a t-shirt.
Do you know how much those fucking t-shirts cost me? I spent way too much on you all motherfuckers. Way, way too fucking much. I just really need to be loved.
We know. But, you know, the 1,300 downloads in the first week, you know, that should help a little bit, right?
Congrats. I don't know how it happened.
Hey, you know, we kept saying it was going to be 3 people. Well, we got the 3 right.
Definitely.
We just forgot the 1,000.
It just goes to show people, at least in any damn thing nowadays, I guess.
It's true. So we're just going to go right into, like, the boring questions. So tell everyone a little bit what you actually do for a living, you know, where you live, home park. Just give us a quick overview.
Okay, so I live in beautiful Wilmington, North Carolina, which is right on the coast. My house is probably a 10 or 15 minute drive to any one of a number of very beautiful beaches. Home park, Tim and I consider Carowinds our home park, even though it's 3.5 hours away. We're sort of in a theme park desert where we are.
You know, that's okay, though, because, you know, I count Silver Dollar City, and it's 3.5 hours for me, so totally fine.
Oh, really? I thought you were closer than that.
Well, actually, no, I guess it's only 3 hours. So, no, I do win. Never mind.
Yeah, so we are 4.5 hours south of King's Dominion, 3.5 hours away from Carowinds, but only just a little over an hour away from Myrtle Beach.
Tell me about that Hard Rock Park. I mean, I hear that's an amazing park.
Oh, yeah, that's a really nice park. You guys should check it out. Yeah, it's really good. The Knights of White Satin dark ride, it's awesome.
Knights of White Satin. Is that kind of like Goliath's night last night with his wife serving up the beef?
You know it, baby.
You know that woman doesn't sleep with Goliath. Good Lord.
I don't just have brisket in the smoker.
So is that you're calling your wife's pussy a smoker? Yes.
Hey, you know, load the smoker, right?
Who doesn't love a nice smoky pussy? So go ahead, tell our adoring public a little bit about what you actually do for a living.
Okay, well, generally I sleep until about 10:15, wake up, take a shit, go outside, smoke a couple of cigarettes, text my mom, go back to sleep until about, you know, probably 2 in the afternoon, call one of my family members to bum some money, listen to Coaster Radio, go back to sleep for a little while. No, actually, I work here in my hometown in the, let's say, the entertainment industry. So you take that how you want.
All right, I will.
Shake it, baby. You want to dance?
You work the pole, and I think that's... Or are you just... I've met you. I mean, I know what you look like. So you're not working the pole. Are you the pole? Are you the pole?
He is the pole. He has to be the pole.
Yes, I am the pole. I just stand up straight, and they grease me up.
That is the best mental image and the worst.
Slater, you've worked some poles in your day, right?
Oh, God, have I worked some poles.
I worked my pole.
You worked your pole last night.
I'm working mine right now.
Oh, that's inappropriate. So now, beyond what you do for a living, now, I know that obviously roller coasters are your hobby, but beyond that, you actually do like a freak show or something like that, right?
Yeah. My brother and I did the Wilson Brothers House of the Absurd, which is basically an artistic homage to the old oddity type of freak show tents from that sort of died out probably in the mid to late 80s. So this is not, you know, a live freak. This is not the bearded lady and that sort of thing, but this is one of the old classic, what they call curio exhibits. So this is the wolf boy, you know, the two-headed sheep in a jar, etc. But yes, we've had one performance in my backyard because that's how much money we have. It was really successful. Everyone loved it. And now we are looking to possibly start traveling with it a little bit. Not necessarily to fairs and carnivals and that sort of thing, but more art shows and things like that.
And for any of those out there listening who are interested in seeing this, just message us on our Twitter, RTO Goliath or RTO Slater, and I will send you his personal and private address so you can go see the show. He's fine. Come in at 6 in the morning, 2 in the morning. He's probably awake doing coke. Doesn't really matter. He'll show you his freak show. And when he says freak show, he just means his dick. So,
yes. Yeah, but we have the four-legged pygmy boy, the Jersey Devil. We have a footprint from a Sasquatch. We have a living squid baby that lives in an aquarium. We have the Tasmanian weresnake. Let's see what else we have. Yeah, so we have a devil rat. We have quite a few. There's about 16 exhibits in the Wilson Brothers House of the Absurd. And it's a lot of fun. I've still got everything, you know, squirreled away inside of my house, just waiting to be unleashed on the world again.
That's really cool. How did you get into that? What started you on the freak show circuit?
Well, I, as well as my brother, we're huge fans of the history of the sideshow, circuses, theme parks, carnivals, fairs, anything, any sort of themed entertainment, everything from P.T. Barnum to mini golf, we love it all. It's not just roller coasters. And it's just something that I thought about doing for a couple of years. Was turning around the ideas in my mind. What I wanted to do was recreate the old curio exhibits, because I feel like the physical objects of that history have been lost. So, you know, sideshow banners are really valuable now. So there are Fred Johnson sideshow banners at the Carl Hammer Gallery in Chicago. They go for thousands of dollars. They're considered like very high art. But a lot of the curio exhibits that existed, they traveled around so much, they got so beat up, they looked so horrible to begin with, and I think a lot of that stuff didn't last. The goal for my brother and I was to recreate the look and the feel of the exhibits that we saw. We don't want something that looks like a movie prop, because who cares? It's not a haunt. You know, the aesthetic that we were going for is when we used to go to the old freak shows and we would see, you know, the wolf boy in a little coffin or whatever, or the Fiji mermaid. It looks so horribly fake. Like, it's clearly not even close to what the banner claims it is. But at the same time, you still really can't figure out how it was created. And you sure as hell can't figure out why someone would take the time to create it. And I think we pulled it off. I think we achieved it. I'll send you guys an album that has all the different pictures of the exhibits.
We will post this on our Facebook and on our Twitter. Is this something that Mike and Frank from American Pickers should contact you as soon as they listen to our show?
I actually saw there's an episode of American Pickers where Mike buys a wolf boy.
Right.
And last year I got a chance to see Mike Wolf's Wolf Boy at the Antique Archaeology in Nashville, Tennessee.
Cool.
And this year, I plan to visit three different grave sites in North Carolina of three of the most famous Siamese twin pairs, which are all buried in North Carolina.
Now that is interesting.
What you want to do today? I don't know. Reckon we could go down to the graveyard, look for them Siamese twins.
So this is actually really cool, you know, and I personally, and I actually expressed that in the last episode, like, I'm not a circus guy, so there's like traditional like big ring clown type circus, but I love the freak show stuff. I mean, I think that's the interesting part of the circus, the old circus acts and the freak show tents. So that's really cool, but you know, perpetual motion and how we must move forward onto new topics. Obviously, we're here because of, you know, a certain thing, which is theme parks and roller coasters, which obviously have their ties into circuses and whatnot. Now, did you get into, like, the freak show circus stuff first, or was it born out of your love for theme parks? How did you get into the theme parks thing?
Good question. So, the way it happened was my brother and I have always loved everything that has to do, like I said before, with festivals, fairs, carnivals, rides, theme parks, everything.
Wait, I have to pause you. Were you all Ren Faire nerds?
No.
Damn it. Oh, I wanted that to be true.
No.
Continue.
So my brother and I have, you know, always really loved theme parks. We've always loved Disney. We've always loved that type of stuff. We never really realized that there was a huge community of people who also love that stuff as much as us. We knew that there were roller coaster enthusiasts. We thought it was just a handful of adrenaline junkies somewhere. Tim and I have always been kind of wimps when it came to rides. As we grew up, we were always afraid of the bigger rides, afraid of the roller coasters. And so going to the state fair as kids in North Carolina, we would always go to the freak shows because we were terrified of 90% of the rides. So if you take a kid to a fair and he won't ride anything, there's really not a whole lot you can do with them except take them to the little shows that they have or take them to the freak shows.
You forgot the fried food.
Goliath, you have a one-track mind.
Yes. Yes, I do. I have no problem admitting it. And that's why I'm never going to ride, never going to like wood coasters, because my big fat ass can't, you know. I love food.
But what really got me into the hobby specifically is I just started, when I first got into podcasts, I searched around and was trying to find a podcast that had something to do with theme parks. I found, of course, you know, 1,000 Disney type of theme park podcasts, but it wasn't really, a lot of them weren't park specific. A lot of them were, you know, talking about everything from Little Mermaid to Disneyland. And so I was looking for something a little bit more specifically about amusement parks. And I stumbled upon a little podcast that we like to call Coaster Fucking Radio. So I started listening to Coaster Radio by myself, tried to get my brother into it. He was having no part of it. He didn't want to listen to my loser nerd podcast. Listened to it for a few years, started to realize that there was this huge community of people who were into this stuff as much as my brother and I were. And so I took a trip up to Carowinds, met up with some friends of mine, and started riding a bunch of roller coasters that I had never ridden before. A couple years later, got my brother listening to the show, got his interest piqued. Now he wants to start trying to ride roller coasters. We're late bloomers. You know, neither one of us started riding roller coasters regularly until our 30s.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Because I started, I shit you not, 8 years old. I rode Batman the Ride, and
back
it just
you could fit
blew
on it.
My fucking mind. Fuck you, asshole. But yes. But it blew my mind, and I've been obsessed since that day. And I would like to say, my parents lucked out. I could have been into much, much worse things. I chose roller coasters. But, you know, in college, I found drugs, too. So, yeah. I like both.
Have you ever ridden El Toro on weed?
No one is gonna understand.
But I have ridden some roller coasters on alcohol, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and those, I mean, you can be a little tipsy, but being truly shit faced drunk. Have you done it like shit faced
drunk? No, you can't be drunk. You just have to be beer buzzed. You have to be beer away from drunk, I think is about where you need to be.
And I made that mistake before. I've made that mistake of just being absolutely trashed and getting on a roller coaster, and that does not end well.
No.
Slater, that wasn't a roller coaster. That was the chairlift at Knoebels.
Okay, first of all, not me, bitch. Not me. That will get
all
into...
All roads lead back to Knoebels.
All roads lead to Knoebels, which we'll get into here in a moment. Now, I'm sure you heard we have this project called the Coaster Sutra, and it's legit. I'm not kidding when I say we are going to eventually, you know, over the course of a couple of years, make a book. So pick a ride and tell us, how would you fuck somebody or do some form of sexual thing on that ride?
Well, I've been doing some thinking about this. Since you first asked me this question, and since I heard Tom from Louisville answer this question, and I think I've got it. I think I just want to do clothes-on, boring-ass missionary in the aisle of the Hall of Presidents. Because it's the only way you could make that attraction more boring, and it's the only way that you could make that attraction more awkward.
You know... I just really hope, and I know Disney won't, but I hope they make their Trump animatronic just say, grab him by the pussy. I mean, that would be entertaining. Like, if every, like, 10 minutes you're hearing him say, grab him by the pussy, and you're like, okay.
Grab him by the Aristocat.
I'd love to have him say, it's huge, it's huge.
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 So, obviously, we've made it clear as... Goliath loves to continually bring up his hate for wood. Are you a wood or are you a steel guy? Are you a bi rider? What are you?
I'm definitely bi when it comes to steel or wood. I swing both ways. I feel like I like them for different reasons. Wood coasters, I love the nostalgia of them. I can't say that I like one better than the other. I think that there are more opportunities in the wood coaster world to be extremely disappointed, but I also think that there are more opportunities in the wood coaster world to have an almost religious experience where you get the shit beat out of your body, you are finally scared for the first time in years on something, and it makes you question why you ever got into the hobby to begin with. And also, a day of riding wooden roller coasters generally gives me the shits the next morning. And steel does not.
Do I need to say any more why I like steel coasters?
Okay. I have a question for Goliath. Out of all of the wooden roller coasters that you have ridden, what was your favorite? What was the most tolerable wooden coaster that you've ever been on?
That would probably be Thunderhead, and it's grown on me. I've ridden it so many times. The trains are a lot more forgiving than the PTCs. It's got the, I think it's the Millennium Flyers, that are more forgiving for the larger riders. My big hatred for wood is the PTCs that have not updated their technology since the freak show was actually invented. You know, if a PTC came out with a new train instead of, oh, hey, we're theming the train, I might enjoy wood better. But I'm one of the people, I have an ass, and so my big ass doesn't fit into those tiny PTC trains. That's my hatred for wood. I did get on Lightning Rod. I rode it once, and maybe I will, or when we post this show, I will show you, or I will post this picture on our Facebook and Twitter. Ride this one on Facebook, RTO Goliath on Twitter. It shows me in absolute excruciating pain when I rode Lightning Rod for the first time.
I don't know if absinthe was the biggest or the best choice for me this morning.
For breakfast?
Absinthe for absinthe breakfast. For breakfast. Chasing the fairy. I love it.
You know what? I'm fine with it. I feel pretty good. It's what I have is pretty strong, though. Hey, boyfriend, what was the proof on that absinthe?
Five.
No. I think it was like a 128
lightweight
proof.
But I didn't realize it was that much of a lightweight. Five proof. Has you fucked up? Okay.
Well, I love me some sour apple pucker because I'm a real bitch. So, your home park, then, you're counting Carowinds. What are you hoping to see in the future for your park?
Well, Carowinds has gotten a lot of attention the past few years. Of course, we had the addition of Fury 325.
It's my number one steel coaster, hands down.
Hands up.
Hands up, that's right.
They did tear down Thunder Road, which was pretty devastating to my brother and I. That was sort of the coaster that started it all for us. They made a massive water park expansion. From a business perspective, I get it. I understand it. Thunder Road was always dead. The water park was always slammed. Even with the additions, the water park is still ass to elbow, as legend would say. Hurler's getting a little retrack work, I think, over this winter, so I'm curious to see if it's better. What I would like to see is not an RMC of Hurler. What I would like to see is them take out Hurler, take out the drop tower that's beside it, and some of that maintenance shit that they have back there. That's a long strip of land right there. They could use that real estate for something else. I don't know what.
They need a launch coaster. They are missing a solid launch coaster. That is what's missing in their lineup there.
There isn't a working launch coaster in the Southeast.
There isn't.
True.
Not a working one.
If they got a launched coaster, they'd be the first one in the Southeast to get a working launched coaster.
Maybe they'll get the one from Space World we were talking about.
Hey, it's pretty cheap. And I know Cedar Fair is all about going and buying used shit and bringing it to their park.
Sorry, I was too drunk to know what happened there.
Five proof.
Five proof. No, 128 proof, and I may have drank a lot of it.
Wow.
Absinthe and orange juice. I feel good, though. Nothing makes you happy like escaping the realities of your sad, sad existence.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh, God, it's so true. That's why we love theme parks, and I really think that's the case. You can trace a love for theme parks back to some form of childhood trauma, and I believe that, whether you were teased for being a fat ass, or your parents were terrible, or, I mean, I don't know, maybe your aunt, like, fingered your asshole. I don't know. But something bad happened to you, and that's why you love theme parks, because you go there to escape. Especially the Disney fanboys. And I mean, I've always noticed this. They are, anytime a Disney fanboy claims to be straight, I just want to shoot myself, because I'm like, you couldn't pick something fucking gayer. Quit taking my culture, okay? This is my culture. Next thing I know, you're going to be a fucking drag queen. Be like, oh, no, I still like vagina. Bitch, no, you fucking don't. Now go ride a cock and find out who the fuck you are.
Yeah. Frat boys already stole the color pink from you guys.
Oh, my fucking God. It's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit is what it is.
Well, anyway. You took the rainbow from us, so,
Rainbow from you? Motherfuckers, y'all never had no rainbow. Boring ass motherfucking straight assholes. The only color you might ever have, you might earn your red wings when you eat a pussy. And here's the thing. Most guys won't even do
that. Hey. I've got 50 shades of gray.
I'm sure. Speaking of that, there is this weird phenomena of the straight dude that doesn't eat pussy. I don't get that. Okay, I'm gay as fuck, and I'm not freaked out by pussy. I'm not grossed out by pussy. So I know if I was straight, I'd be diving in head first. And this is how I know that you, Kevin, are straight. Like, you're legitimately straight, because I've heard you talk about your love for eating pussy. And I say all this because I do want to ask you, when did you earn your red wings? Have you earned your red wings?
Oh, yeah. What, years ago?
Years ago.
And it was only by accident.
Surprise!
I feel a story coming on here.
I'm not sure I remember specifically when or where it was, to tell you the truth. It's just something when I scroll back through my memory, I think, yeah, I sort of remember being there. I'm not sure how much I committed to it once it happened, but I figure it must have happened somewhere along the way.
I'm sure there's a lot of fat, lonely bitches out there who, like, it's their weird fantasy. Like, if a guy was to eat her out while she was having that time of the month, she'd be like, oh, my God, is he a vampire? Is Twilight happening for real for me? I mean, I think that's maybe their dream. I don't know.
I don't think anyone is into it, really. I think it's an urban myth. I don't think that women are into it. I don't think that men are into it. I don't think that anyone is into that nasty shit.
# Team Edward.
I think you seem to be pretty into it, Slater.
You know, I sure talk an awful lot about pussy for a guy who just does not give a fuck about it. But I am not the type of guy who's like, ew. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, get it away from me. I'm not that guy.
You like your pussy to bite cock, don't you?
Oh, shut the fuck up. Okay, backstory. I have a cat. I was laying on the couch one morning, and I was like half asleep. I was getting ready kind of for work, whatnot. And I'm just in my boxers. My cat gets up on my lap, not that weird, whatever. Next thing I know, she's fucking biting my dick. And that's how I really got up that morning. And I'll never live that down.
Pain gets you up. Is that how it works?
No. I'm not you. And this is all real interesting, because all of this talk, you know, of eating pussy, one thing I feel like I failed to bring up for everyone out there is that, Kevin, You are what people like to call a vegan.
Yes.
So you're a lesbian? Is that what he meant?
Yeah, I think most vegans are militant lesbians, and I know this from experience, so no wonder you like pussy so much.
My question to you is, though, when you were getting your Red Wings experience, did that count? Do you not count that as meat, or what goes through your mind?
I think it was so early in my career that I really don't like to talk about it.
Well, I'm going to say there's a pretty strict rule in the gay community. If you are gay and vegan, you are not allowed to swallow. That's why nobody wants to date a vegan.
What's your experience been at theme parks being a vegan? Do they have much food at theme parks for vegans?
They do not. It's really weird. I feel like theme parks are behind the rest of the world, or the rest of the country, I would say, in the U.S., as far as offering vegetarian options. I would say all parks have some sort of vegetarian option, but not many vegan options. So it's something that I've had to figure out over the past couple of years. Fortunately, a lot of parks, you know, have a picnic area. You can always go back out to the parking lot, get some food. You can eat at the picnic area. But as far as the sit-down dining places, the quick-service places, there's very, very little. It's a nightmare. I've never met another vegan coaster enthusiast. I would love to see how they survive without dying.
So, you know, and I do know, you know, actually, it is dangerous to be vegan and a coaster enthusiast. I know this for a fact because Dorney Park, which Goliath will talk about Dorney Park later, but Dorney Park tried to fucking kill you.
They tried to kill you too?
Yeah. Yes, we, after 3.5 hours of drunken sleep, we drove 1.5 hours to Allentown. I think that I had a couple of peanut butter and jellies and maybe some crackers for breakfast, but I had pretty much eaten most of my stash of food when we were camping the couple nights before. And I definitely started feeling a little weak there towards the afternoon. Had to go back out to the parking lot and eat something. But I feel like I maybe had kind of a blood sugar crash or something because I felt pretty weird, pretty weak. Ate something and got back on track. So I have gotten a lot better about taking care of myself when I go to theme parks, drinking lots of water, making sure I eat a big breakfast, making sure that I eat a big lunch.
Taking care of your girlfriend, you know, beforehand. So get just a little protein in there, right?
Yeah, always. Sure.
Always. Great. But we do have a good friend who I promise we'll have on the show, who loves pussy more than anybody else. Yes, we do, and that is Beard Man, and you can find him on Twitter, Coaster Cron Adam, and that's CoasterCronAdam, Coaster Cron Adam on Twitter. Feel free to follow him. He does post a lot of interesting things. He's in Florida right now being an asshole, talking about all the lovely weather. Well, it's 20 fucking degrees out here for me right now, so.
Adam has traveled probably more than anyone I know in the past year for theme parks, except maybe he might be tied with Dan the T-shirt guy as far as the miles that he's put under his feet traveling to different theme parks. It makes me super jealous.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely fucking jealous. I plan to try to catch up. I'm going to need to lose some weight to catch up.
Hell of a guy, too. If you ever see him at an event, definitely check Adam out. He is a plethora of information. He is also a very, very accomplished musician. He's a percussionist.
So not a musician, he's a drummer.
Did I say musician? I meant he's a drummer.
Exactly. Okay, well, real quick, before I move on and going ahead and telling everybody about what happened at Knoebels, because I know people are desperate to know, do you have any specific questions for us or anything that you'd like to tell us?
I want to know how you two, of all people, of our circle of friends that has been created over the past couple of years, how did you two, of all people, this tall, straight man and this short, gay man, how did you guys become friends and decide to do the podcast itself?
Wait a second. Short? Okay. I look short next to him because he is fucking Goliath, okay? We don't use that term, like, lightly, by the way. He's fucking tall and huge. But I'm 5'10". That is a standard height for a man. Thank you very much.
Oh, are you 5'10"?
I'm 5'10", bitch!
Oh.
Next to, like, I don't know, next to Adam and next to Dan the T-shirt man, sure, I look giant. But, I mean, not that short. Now my dick, now that's a Goliath.
Goliath looks like the last person on Earth you would want to fuck with.
You're right, not my type.
But also, one of the nicest people ever, I must add.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I might look scary, but you know.
This is what I will say about Goliath. Goliath is the kind of dude that if he walks in the room and he has a scowl on his face, you don't want to make eye contact because you're thinking this guy is going to fuck me up. But when he smiles, it is like an 8-year-old child full of sunshine.
It's very true. But here's the thing. If he has a scowl on his face, don't worry. He probably just needs to shit.
Or the Raiders just lost again.
That's true. Yes. Raiders!
Were you there, Dorney, when we did the...
You're not even
going to
follow
the...
that up? Are you fucking serious? Oh. You're not even going to follow that up. I give you the opportunity.
Raiders!
No, it's fucking over. The moment is over. Fuck you. I'm not doing it now.
What were you going to ask me, Goliath?
I was wondering if you were at Dorney when we rode the Raiders train. The last ride of the night, it was a night ride. And...
Yeah, still force at night in the cold is pretty exceptional. But no, how did you guys link up and become friends outside of the events that you had seen each other at?
Well, believe it or not, I think, in a way, I was thinking about that recently. With the smash success that is Ride This One podcast, I think we can actually attribute it to Ariel. And Ariel's a good friend of us. You know, Kevin knows Ariel. And we were in line for... flying turns.
Did she ever get her pizza?
Nah, fuck that bitch. she did not get her pizza. But no, we were in line and we'd kind of already been hanging out. Like he was telling me earlier in the day about, well, we bonded over food. We're two fat dudes. Of course we bonded over food. I'm like, oh, it's a fatty. I'm pretty sure we're going to get along.
We started, I think our first real conversation was about coffee. We're both coffee snobs. And I got to the campsite, was hanging out. And the first thing we talked about, we started talking about coffee and found out each other was a coffee nerd. And that kind of, yeah.
Because roller coasters aren't enough. But no, either way, we hung out. We first bonded over food. So we started hanging out and we were in line for flying turns. And at that point, Ariel was in line with us. She'd been hanging out with other people kind of from the group we were with. We hadn't really said hi. And I guess that group was going off to do something she didn't want to do. And she's like, hey, do you mind if I ride with you? And I'm
they were slacking
sure.
off.
Sure. Right. They were definitely off. Slacking off.
They
but
were slacking
anyways,
off on
they...
rides.
They were slacking off on each other.
Slacking off on each other. But no, we were, in line and she'd asked if she could, ride with us. I'm like, sure, why not? And so we're just in line, hanging out, talking, just laughing. And I was just like, you know, there's a great rapport going on here. This is actually some of the shit that's coming out of his mouth and my mouth. It's really funny. And I think I just literally looked at him and was like, hey, I've been thinking about doing a podcast. Is this something you'd be interested in doing? But either way, he was like, fuck yeah. And that was in October. And then we released our first episode in January. So we've just kind of, you know, it's funny because we text like every fucking day. So you'd think we were like this weird dating couple. It's kind of embarrassing. We're definitely not. But it's definitely really more, we're definitely sending each other pictures of food or talking about roller coasters. And so it's this weird match made in, oh, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of fucked up. But it works. And that's all that really matters, I guess.
Why do you guys think that such close friendships are formed in the enthusiast world and seemingly between people that are pretty opposite from each other? I know I've made a lot of friends in that world, and it's people that I'm not sure that I would necessarily ever come into contact with. Do you think that it's because you get a chance to hang out with a wide group of people that you end up meeting people that you wouldn't normally meet in your social circle? Or do you think that this is how depressed losers find each other?
Oh, it's simple answer here. Desperation. Almost every fucking coaster. If you've been to a coaster enthusiast event, you know the level of fucking nerd it is. Even the cool ones, like, oh, that's the cool coaster enthusiast. Fucking nerds! Okay, we're fucking nerds. We're terrible. And so we just desperately need somebody who knows what we're talking about when we say Millennium Tharth.
And the amount of chance to meet a gay guy at a enthusiast event is really high as well.
It's really high. We're all fucking gay.
Yeah. Okay. Which is not something I realized when I got into this hobby, that there was such a large homosexual presence in the enthusiast community.
Neither did I. I had no idea until Slater told me that. I was like, we're talking. He's like, yeah, there's so many. I was like, what? No. And then the last time I went to, I was like, I actually texted Slater. I was like, dude, you are so right. This is crazy.
Yeah. Little did you know, it's just a big old gay fuck fest where you ride roller coasters in between getting off for us gay guys. Sorry, straight guys, it's a lot more boring for you all, but it's fun for us gay guys. But anyways, it all ties back to, remember when I talked about we're into it because of terrible childhoods? Oh, you'll never find a sadder childhood than a gay boy. So, so there you go. That's why. But speaking about Knoebels, let's get into Knoebels. This is exciting. I've wanted to talk about it, but we really haven't. I mean, hints have been dropped a little bit on coaster fucking radio. But that's really it. So here's the thing. Obvious one thing you're going to notice. Obviously, there's a big tie-in. We are a group of people that we love Coaster Radio. Mike and EB kind of is that catalyst that brought us all together. We were at Knoebels for Phoenix Hall Fun Fest, but let's be real. We were there for the Coaster Radio meetup. Everyone agree here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's be honest.
I definitely would not have gone to Knoebels if it wasn't for the Coaster Radio meetup, because they have two good rides. I have a number one wooden coaster. My number one wooden coaster is Flying Turns.
There's so many things wrong with what you said there. I can't. Although I am in the minority, I think that Twister is my favorite ride there. I love Twister. I like it more than Phoenix, but I'm a lateral boy. So anyways, we all come to Knoebels for the Coaster Radio meetup. It's wonderful. I was going to have to drive all the way from Missouri, where I live, to Pennsylvania. That's a 14 and like a half hour drive. I was going to do it by myself in my brand new Prius, because I'm that much of a stereotype.
Hey.
I like the low gas mileage, okay? It's legit. You get 60 miles to a gallon and try not to jack off in happiness. So either way, I was just like, hey, you know, I really don't want to do that drive by myself. So I have this guy that I have been friends with since college. And we were really good friends. I hadn't seen him in like, I don't know, 7, 8 years. But I was going to be basically driving through the town he lives in to get there. So I was just like texting him like, hey, I'm going to this coaster event. You know, you're not a coaster enthusiast, but, you know, I figured if you want to go, I've already paid for everything. So we're, you know, if you want to go, I can pick you up. And he's like, sure, you know, I'll do that. That sounds great. So I go, I pick him up. It's all good, whatnot. We get to Knoebels, and honestly, we have a decent first day. You know, he's a sarcastic asshole, kind of like me, so I figured he'd do okay. Yeah, it all went well until we were, you know, back at the campfire, you know, all hanging out and drinking. And, you know, he may have had just a little bit too much to drink, maybe.
Yeah, that high-quality, five-proof absinthe will really could really mess you up.
So, anyways, well, the group kind of separated. They went to, like, where my campsite was and then our friend's campsite. And I'm at my friend's campsite, and he's there, and he is, like, starting to trip over himself. And at that point, I'm starting to get a little nervous. I'm like, okay, well, a little too much to drink. Well, I guess, you know, later on, I'll just, you know, make sure that he doesn't have quite that much to drink. You know, not too hard. He decides he wants to light a cigarette. So our friend had brought a blowtorch to light the fires with, oddly enough. And he decided it'd be a good idea to light his cigarette with a blowtorch. Now, our dear friend, Matt from Yorkshire. I love Matt. And speaking of our friend Matt and really all things of Europe, we got this lovely voicemail here the other day. It's actually, it is a legit complaint. So we'll go ahead and we'll play that real quick.
Hello, Reitzist One Podcast. This is Matthias from Germany. I just need to say, I like your podcast. It's good, but you are pussies. You go to your favorite parks and none of them sell alcohol? What the fuck? And you don't even report on European parks. You need to get over to Germany, where beer is less than a bottle of water. It's so much better over here. Fuck you guys for that. But I kind of like you. Don't blame me for the Nazis. Bye.
Well, we heard you. We heard you, Europe. And here, with a big fuck you to Europe, is Tea Time with Matt.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tea Time with Matt. This is the section of the show with sophistication, sincerity and sexual innuendo. Over here in Her Majesty's United Kingdom, we don't always focus on the size of your ride, but how you use it. This is why we have rides such as Nemesis, The Swarm and The Smiler, rides you Yankees would give your left leg to ride. This year promises to be shitty boring to fucking average in the European theme park scene. No big rides have been announced for the 2017 season in the UK, with the exception of the Gruffalo being retrofitted into Bubbleworks at Chessington World of Adventures. An old, poorly themed relic, Chessington is one of the largest theme parks in the country. My adoring American public may not be familiar with the story of the Gruffalo. It follows a mouse avoiding danger by spinning stories about a monster. It's very much like Moses writing the Ten Commandments in that respect. Chessington is also home to the Vampire, an arrow suspended roller coaster with flawless Vekoma trains, because we all know the only way to improve an arrow is just to add some Vekoma love to it. I think the floors must have rusted away. It does rain a lot over here. It's not that we don't have a summer, it's just that it's only one Tuesday in July. In other parts of our fair country, the wankers at Alton Towers are still cutting staff for dark rides in favour of building more hotels for toddlers, hobbit holes for a-holes, and rides themed to brightly coloured educational children's TV. After the court case regarding the Smiler crash, Alton Towers lost a lot of money, so to convince the public of the safety of roller coasters and restore their fortunes, they've decided to build a wooden roller coaster using centuries-old technology normally resigned to the rickety contraptions on the coast at Blackpool, which, in a change of fortune, is building a modern multi-launch roller coaster built by Mach. Being in Lancashire, I'm sure those rat bastards will have to siphon off electricity from the railway lines to run it, but it does look like it will be mildly enjoyable. We have to wait until 2018 for that, and I believe their 2017 edition is miserable weather and self-loathing, which is basically what they've done for the last 20 years anyway. I hope you enjoyed your English breakfast, Earl Grey or Twinings blend. Remember to keep your pinky erect whilst indulging, and I shall see you next time for Tea Time with Matt.
How delightfully British was that?
My goodness, it is very British. I could barely understand it.
All right, guess what? So I just had it come up here on my computer that we have got another voicemail. And I was listening to it here kind of in my headphones while we're talking. This is great. Great, guys. Guys, take a listen to this.
Hello, this is Mark from Yorkshire, formerly known to my mom and dad as Marcus Hollingsworth Pickleberry. I am completely knackered on Boddingtons, and I am calling in regards to your recent rubbish heap of a segment titled Tea Time with Matt. First thing first, this bloke is most definitely not from Yorkshire. This wanker doesn't know Wensleydale from Boroughbridge. And if he says he does, he's higher than the cliffs at Whitby. I did not appreciate the segment in which he played Jack the Lad about Chessington World of Adventures. If this tosser thinks he knows more about Chessington than I, he's bent as a nine-bob note. I'm actually from God's County. This guy is all mouth and no trousers. I have it on good authority that he's never even been to Chessington. He spends his time mucking about the US with his Yank friends, drinking Budweiser, going to Six Flags, and trying to shag sea cows. Excuse me for creating a Barney, but everyone knows that I, Marcus from Yorkshire, am the number one coaster enthusiast in the UK. And yes, I am shit-faced right now, but it drives me barking mad to hear this poser get all the attention. Nick Hudson gets his own segment on Season Pass, and I can't even get a bloody retreat from Theme Park fucking Blueprints! I mean, England is a big place. Can't someone else get bloody airtime in the coastal world? Who am I kidding? I'm not from Yorkshire. I just want to be on a podcast. Any podcast. I don't even live in England. I live in the dodgy section of Columbia, South Carolina. I'm sorry, Matt. You're king, mate. You're the bloody British coaster fucking king. God save the queen.
Dude, who the fuck was that guy?
I don't know. Sounded like a real asshole to me.
Yeah, he sounds pretty pissed off at Matt, too.
What did Matt do to that guy?
Apparently there's not enough room in Yorkshire for two enthusiasts.
Apparently not. Well, you know, we'll let them fight it out. You know, maybe eventually they can have a rap battle or something. I don't know. We'll get them on here together sometime, and we'll see if maybe they can talk out their differences.
Okay, but moving away from our sudden obsession with all things Matt and European, we'll get back to the story of what happened at Knoebels. So, of course, our friend had brought the blowtorch to light our fires with, and he goes to light his cigarette, and then our friend Matt looks at him and says,
"Pardon me, Mr. Douchebag. You probably don't want to light your cigarette with a fucking blowtorch."
Exactly. And he, like, lost it. Like, he was just like, "Fuck you, you think I can't handle a blowtorch?" And he's like,
"It is in my personal, professional, and British opinion that lighting your cigarette with a blowtorch is fucking dangerous, douchebag."
And, like, he lost it. And so he's just like, "Fuck you guys, fuck all of you." And this is, like, out of nowhere. Just like, fuck
I missed
you.
I missed all of this. I was not around for any of this.
I missed this as well. This is the first time I'm hearing it in full.
And Adam can vouch. Adam was there when this happened. And so he starts hightailing it up to where everybody else is at our campground or at our campsite. And he's like, I'm like, "Oh, shit." So I follow him up there, and everyone's there. And he doesn't come in necessarily tearing. He's not really saying anything. He's just mumbling, stumbling, obviously drunk. And I'm like, "Oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck." He decides, even though there's plenty of room for him to get in his tent, he decides that he's just going to walk and, like, not brush, but literally push our friend Julie. Now, all I'm going to say about Julie is she is amazing. I love her. Don't fuck with Julie, though, okay? Don't fuck with Julie.
Julie the dominatrix?
Julie the dominatrix. And it's not that she's going to go off, but, you know, just don't fuck with Julie. And at that point, I was pissed. I'm like, okay, me and him are having a conversation tomorrow. I mean, I go to him, I grab him. I'm like, you need to get in that tent, and you just need to go to bed. All right? We'll talk in the morning. And he's like, fuck you, but he gets in the tent. So even so, whatever, we all go back to another campground. He's sleeping. I'm like, okay. And I apologize. I'm sorry, guys. He just had too much drink. I'm really sorry. I didn't know. I haven't seen him in years. Whatever. Everyone's really nice. It's like, oh, it's okay. Well, it's time for bed. It's like 2 in the morning. I crawl up to my tent where he's at because we're sharing a tent. I get in. He sits bolt upright. He looks at me and goes, fuck you, get out of the tent! And he punches me square in the face. Now, as a queer, I have been punched before. This is nothing I haven't experienced. So I'm like, okay. And I get out of the tent. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm thinking, okay, this is, I don't know what's going on. That's not the end. No, it gets worse. He decides at that point, I see me thrashing around the tent, and the tent is like almost falling over. He gets out of the tent and literally just starts screaming incoherent, fucked up bullshit. And then he proceeds to start wailing on our neighbor's tent. And whose tent would that happen to be?
That happened to be my brother and I's tent. And I was not in the tent at the time. I was back at another campsite hanging out and telling stories. But my brother had gone to bed about maybe 20 minutes, half an hour earlier. And I don't think he was even fully asleep yet. I think he was probably just laying there listening to his iPod trying to go to sleep.
And I'll never forget the look on Tim's face. Because as he's just wailing on the tent, just destroying it. And all of a sudden the fly on the tent just flies open. And there's Tim's round, childish face just of shock in dismay. What's happening to me?
one of the nicest, most non-confrontational individuals on the planet.
Absolutely. And he just does not know what's happening. And he just freaking out. Of course, Tim, I mean, he doesn't really get out of the tent as much as like springs, like he's on a spring, he's out of that tent. And and Jacob, as we're calling him, he doesn't stop there. Then he starts going to just random tents, screaming, yelling, hitting just random people's tents that have nothing to do with the group we're with. Nothing. Next thing you know, of course, Noble security is there. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this could not be worse. He ends up, I don't know, he's trashed like 5, 6, probably more tents than that, just knocked them over with people in them. Keep in mind, this is 2 in the morning. People are sleeping in their tents.
And also, there are children in some of these tents.
Oh, plenty of children. And yes, legally, me and Goliath are allowed around kids. We're not that bad. But finally, some guy who I don't know literally tackles him to the ground after he was trying to get into this tent with a bunch of kids. It was like 8-year-old kids. There's like 6 or 7 of them in a tent. And he's thrashing and trying to get into the tent.
So he was detained by just a GP person that was in the camp?
A hero GP person. And I'm just sitting there. I'm still standing there at our camp, at my campsite, just like my mouth is wide open. And I'm like, oh, fuck. like, I don't know what to do. I can't stop him. And that's when Knoble security approaches me. And they're fucking laughing. They're like, oh, you think this is the first time this has happened out here? So apparently that's common at the Knobles campsite. So be prepared for that, everybody. At that point, Matt has wandered up because he's heard stuff. And he's like freaking out. He's getting pissed and he's like, I'm going to go get Kevin because, you know, Tim is still there. And he runs down to go get you, and what does he say?
I will tell you verbatim what he says to me. So we're sitting around the fire having our nerdy conversations about Phoenix and roller coasters, and we're winding the day down, and I'm feeling, you know, nice, and my heart is full with all my visions of coasters in my head and enjoying my time with my friends. And then Matt comes walking up behind me, and he says, "Kevin, your brother needs your keys." And I said, "Okay," and I turn around and look at him, and he said, "That douchebag just wailed on Tim's tent. He needs your keys to get into the car."
So, of course, the police come, and he is handcuffed. He's put in the back of a police car. I am like, oh my God. At that point, I'm like, well, fuck this dude. Take him away. Take him away. They ask for his stuff. I go grab his bag out of the car, give it to him. They find paraphernalia on him. Just pot. Who fucking cares? I don't. I'm making that clear right now. Smoke up, everybody. But
not at the theme park.
Not at the theme park. Apparently in the county in Pennsylvania where Knoebels is. Like, literally like a month before, they had literally decriminalized marijuana possession. No! Okay, that's why it sucked so bad, because guess what? It's such a small area, they did not have a cell for him. They had nowhere to take him. And I guess technically in Podunk, Pennsylvania, he'd broken no laws because no one had been hurt. So they're like at me and they're like, "He's your problem, man. He's not under arrest." He's calming down at this point, or sobering up or whatever. I am beyond furious. He's my problem. And Knoebels is like, "Well, you can't fucking stay here." And they were great. Knoebels was great to me. They're like,
Knoebels was wonderful. They always are. They're actually, I think they might be my new favorite park in America that I've been to. I love it. It's so nostalgic. The people are so nice. And the security and staff was, as usual, was very nice and very respectful considering what they were dealing with.
Right. But they're like, you know, he can't stay, obviously. And I'm like, I understand that. They could not take him to jail. So literally what I had to do, and it took all night, I had to go put him in a hotel, because that motherfucker, of course, was broke, so couldn't use his money. So, ching, a little over $100 there. Put him over a hotel for a few hours until I could get him on a bus, a county over. I couldn't drop him off on the side of the road. I asked. They're like, "Nope, he's got to be out of county, and you have to put him on a bus, you have to put him on a plane, you have to put him on something, and that's what it takes for him to not legally be your responsibility since you brought him in, because he rode in my car." So that's what I did. It's like by now, 4 in the morning after I'm done talking to the cops. I get in the hotel, I come back, I try to sleep for an hour, I run back to the hotel, and the nearest hotel, mind you, is a half an hour away. I get him to this weird gas station, and I put him on a bus. One county over, and I'm like, "Fuck you, figure it out." And that's the last time I saw him and last time I've talked to him. And literally, I drove straight back, and I ran into you, actually, Kevin, as I'm going to the shower. And went straight from there to the events that we're doing. I did the whole day with no sleep. And that was Knoebels.
Yeah. The morning of the incident, wasn't that the same day that we ended up going to Dorney?
No, it was actually the following, or maybe...
Oh, that's right. No. We were still at Knoebels for another day.
Yeah, no, he literally did all of that crazy shit on day one. Like, he didn't even manage a full 24 hours before he fucked everything up. And I'm like, these are a lot of people, mind you, people out there in podcast land, I have talked to online, but they have never met me in person. So this is my introduction to them. "Hey guys, it's me, Slater, and I'm going to bring this insane person with me." I will say I have not lived that down.
You never will.
I probably never will, but you know what? I'll be remembered, bitch.
Yeah.
So...
And I will say, out of our group of friends, right, we are all pretty straight-laced. I mean, I wouldn't say straight-laced, but I would say that we are all very polite, respectful people. You know, we know how to act when we go to parks. We're
not there causing trouble.
Right. We're the type of people that you can bring to your parents' house, and we're not going to drop F-bombs. But I will say that you two are sort of the bad boys of the group. And maybe that's why Ride This One works.
Maybe. We're the ones who, we're not gonna say fucking from your mom, but as soon as we're outside the house, we're like, fuck that bitch! For no reason.
I did say fucking in front of Dan's mom and a bunch of other people.
We won't talk about that embarrassing moment.
Oh, Goliath.
We'll work on your temper.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason they call me Goliath. I just, you know. Maybe Samson. Maybe should have gone by Samson.
We're not going to get into Bible humor. Do you think any of these people are religious? No.
Your hair's not long enough to be Samson.
Fuck no. No. Well, I could have been Samson after he shaved his head.
That's true, but then you wouldn't have any strength after that.
All right, Kevin, did you have any final thoughts or anything you had for us before I, you know, cut you off?
I just want to know why? Just why? When I listened to the first episode of Ride This One, I just thought, why does this exist? Why does this exist in the world? Clearly, you guys have been very successful. What do you think? What is the niche that you guys think you have filled?
Right now, I can tell you what we're trying to fill. We needed to find something that would fill your mother's cavernous pussy.
See, I'm hanging up now because that's so wildly inappropriate. I'm actually...
Oh my god.
We feel that there's a lack of truly adult themed coaster podcasts or theme park podcasts.
Yeah.
Yes, there are some that say fuck. Yes, there's some that say shit. You know, but none are really grab you by the balls and fuck you.
None of them are really that desperate for attention.
We want attention, so we figure that the best way to get attention is to grab you by the balls and say, come for me. Grab you by the pussy and say, come for me.
I will say what I think works and what you guys have in common with the other big theme park podcasts out there is I feel like what makes In the Loop work, what makes Coaster Radio work is enthusiasts who don't take themselves so damn seriously.
Oh, I take myself so seriously.
Well, yeah.
I'm super serious.
Narcissistic maniac.
Yes, absolutely. You know nothing about that.
Yeah, I do have one more question. We just found out that the Gravity Group is going to be running a Super Bowl ad. They're going to be introducing the new roller coaster down at Fun Spot, Kissimmee. What do you think the name is going to be for the new roller coaster?
Well, I actually already know this information. This was leaked to me by one of my Coaster Boy sources, and it's actually going to be called Penetrator.
Oh, now that sounds like my kind of ride.
So you're saying that they got the guy who named Invader, or who wrote Invader and Valraven to name this ride?
No, I think they just stole his idea.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. It's a lot cheaper to steal his idea than to actually hire him. And right. that's what makes Fun Spot work. Fun Spot Orlando Sea.
Absolutely. Well, and before we close out, did you have any questions for us?
What do you see for the future with Ride This One? What is your goal? Why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your time on this podcast?
Because our goal is to enter the glamorous world of theme park podcasting. We want to be number one. Fuck you In the Loop. Fuck you Coaster fucking Radio. We're going to take y'all motherfuckers down. Maybe. I mean, no, we just want attention. And honestly, I enjoy talking to my friends. I'm like, holy shit. podcasts really don't talk to every enthusiast, if you know what I mean. Like, I feel like there isn't a real voice out there for the standard enthusiast. And yes, right now we're interviewing our friends, but I want to interview complete strangers. If you are interested, and I'm saying this to everyone out there, if you're interested on being on our show, contact us. Hit me up on Twitter, RTO Slater or Goliath at RTO Goliath. Hit us on Facebook, Ride This One Podcast. Go to our website, ridethisone.com, and get in contact with us. And we definitely want people to come to the show. We want to hear and we want to learn about the enthusiast community. We want to laugh. We want to be dirty. We just want it to be like a campfire, like the Knoebels campfire was for us. Just a group of friends having a couple of drinks, talking about what we love, and, you know, being a little dirty while we're at it. That's what I want for the future. I want a place where people can come hang out and not worry that maybe their mom is listening.
Hi, Mom.
What a beautiful mission statement. God.
I know, right? A place where mom's not listening. Well,
it also makes a great format to interview coaster enthusiast posers like me and my brother.
Fucking posers. Well, I'm going to
coaster counts well into the 20s.
Oh, shit. You some fancy bitches. So we're gonna let you actually have the last word on this interview. So what do you want to say to the theme park public at large?
Wow, that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, don't fuck it up.
I will say to the theme park enthusiast community, have fun. Don't take yourselves too seriously. Ride everything that you possibly can, unless it is Thunderhawk, T3, or Flying Turns.
Two of my favorite rides. Fuck you. I love Thunderhawk, and I love Flying Turns. You bitch.
Well, Flying Turns was fun. T3, as everyone knows, is awful.
Yes.
But Thunderhawk, dear God, what a pile of crap that is.
Hey, and Kevin, where can they find you on the big ol' internets?
You can find me on the dark web. I am on Twitter at KevWillNC. You can also check out my brother. He is at The Yellow King. And I am also been featured on a relatively new pop culture podcast called You're Gonna Need a Bigger Podcast. Currently, I think it can be found on SoundCloud. And my girlfriend and I are the Star Wars Virgins. So if you look for the Star Wars Virgins episodes, they are episodes in which my girlfriend and I, who have never seen any of the Star Wars movies until about a year ago, and we start with A New Hope, we move to episode 4, then we go through the prequels, 1, 2, and 3, and then we will do The Force Awakens and whatever the 8th one is called. So right now, there is episode 3, episode 4, episode 1. The most recent one is our discussion on episode 2. And tonight, we will be recording our podcast interview, Star Wars Virgins. You're going to need a bigger podcast for episode 3 of the prequels.
And I can vouch for this. It is a very good show. I have listened, and I enjoyed it very much. And just so you know, because apparently you don't know this about your podcast, it is also available on Stitcher.
So, and it's not my podcast. I'm just a featured interviewee.
Right. And also, just so you know, too, the new Star Wars film is called The Last Jedi. Not a nerd, I promise. Well, thank you so much, guys, for listening to Ride This One Podcast. You know, it's been a pleasure, Kevin. Now get the fuck off our show.
Okay, I'm going to go fuck my brother now.
That's the last words you're going to say on your episode.
So- no!
And there's nothing you can do.
So. I am going to seriously regret being on this show, aren't I?
Yes.
Ride This One Podcast. If you want family friendly, go listen to Coaster Fucking Radio.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Slater and I would like to take a moment outside of our show to reflect on a loss that directly affects our Coaster family. Last week, we lost a fellow enthusiast. Elaine Jackson has left us too soon. Elaine was a funny, beautiful, vibrant, passionate enthusiast who brought joy to everyone she met. You know, as enthusiasts, we love going to theme parks and existing in our own little bubble. It's a place that feels safe from the outside world. There's just something about the park experience that seems to transcend the trappings of this life. It's a large part of why we love them. With the loss of Elaine, it feels like life broke our little bubble and took one of our own. It's going to be hard returning to the parks this summer. There'll be an empty seat in every train ridden by those who knew her. But we will return to the parks. We will laugh, and most importantly, we will enjoy the fellowship of our friends. Although it will be difficult, we know it's what she would have wanted. Our thoughts turn to her family and friends, and we can only hope the positive influence she had on everyone whose life she touched will ease the pain of this trying time. We love you, Elaine. We miss you, and we think of you every time we hear the click of a lift hill or feel the rush of air from a drop tower. As our hands are thrown up and smiles spread across our faces, we know you are right there with us, with the most beautiful smile of all. Thank you and good night.